Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My Bible's open to the 10th chapter of Luke. You need to open your Bible to Luke chapter 10 as well. Great to see you this morning. I was just thinking as our brother spoke before the Lord's Supper there, there is just no better way to begin the week than to be together with the people of God and to sing praises to God and to be reminded about what's the purpose for our existence and to have the chance to pray together and to give and see how blessed and prospered we are and to spend time in the Word and yes, just to see each other, just to see all these folks and pews full of people and visitors. It's just the best possible way to begin a week. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm ready to study the Word of God with you in Luke chapter 10, please. In a moment, I want to read beginning at about verse 38, as they were, Luke 10 and verse 38. As they were on their way, Jesus entered into a village. Now, we read Luke chapter 10 last week as part of our reading plan as a congregation this year, the reading about the cause and effect, Jesus the cause and the effect being the church, as we'll continue to read into Acts. And there's lots of stuff in Luke chapter 10. There's the sending out of the 72 at the beginning of the chapter, and that's an exciting moment. And there's some hard words from some cities that would not accept Jesus, Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and Jesus has some things to say about them. Maybe the jewel in the chapter is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I mean, that's just become a common standard phrase in our society. When somebody does some kindness to someone, people say, he was a Good Samaritan. Everybody knows about that. And I think those are great things. But I want to slide right down to the end of the chapter, to this little part that I began reading in verse 38. Because Luke says, I want you to come with me to the house of Martha and Mary. And I want to show you something that happened there that was very important. Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So here's Jesus in a home. That's very common in Luke. And then Jesus is eating, and eating is even more common in Luke. But in the middle of all that, something happens that's a little bit shocking, maybe even scandalous. And as all that's going on, Luke helps us see and have some insight into some powerful ideas that will help us in the middle of our busy world. I do want to talk with you about Luke chapter 10 this morning. I promise you that I would speak from Luke and from Acts as we read from those together this year. And so this morning I do want to talk a little bit about the busy issues that we're confronting in Luke chapter 10. Do you have a lot going on today? Is your head just a whirl of things that you need to get on your to-do list and need to get checked off? Maybe you're so busy you didn't get Luke 10 read last week. This is your place. The end of this chapter is exactly what we need. It is the antidote to busyness that we are all crying for and that our hearts are longing for. Jesus is pointing the way in Luke 10 to what it means to serve Him in the best sort of fashion. And I want to share with you those ideas this morning. Let's make sure we have a handle on the text. Verse 38 says, as they were traveling. And I would remind you that since Luke 9:51... where Luke tells us Jesus set His face to go to Jerusalem, Jesus is traveling from now until He reaches Jerusalem, where there'll be the consummation of all things. That's what's happening. We're journeying along. And I do want you to notice it says, they went on their way. Jesus is not by Himself. Sometimes in our mind's eye, we see Jesus walking alone. That may have happened from time to time, but not very often. And He is received then. She is welcome. Mary and Martha welcome Jesus into their house. And I think that is kind of important. Because the story of the Good Samaritan is about nobody being willing to help somebody out. Guy's laying in the ditch. Nobody will stop what they're doing and help a little bit. And so here, hospitality is being shown. And I want to make sure as I talk about that, that we don't end up with hospitality being a bad thing. The Good Samaritan showed some hospitality. And I think there is some hospitality being shown in a very good way. Now, if you put these verses in Luke 10, together with some verses, especially in the Gospel of John chapter 11 and John chapter 12, where we meet these same sisters and their brother Lazarus, then we know the name of this village. This is Bethany, not that far from Jerusalem. And I said something about scandalous and shocking, and that is in verse 39. Did you see it there? She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. She did what? You said she did. Can't do that. The Jewish law did not forbid teaching women, but it absolutely was unheard of for a rabbi to allow a woman to sit at his feet. That's just, just don't do that. That's just against all the conventions of the day. That's just not how you ought to act. And that leads to sister Martha, verse 40. And she comes and she's telling Jesus what He ought to be saying while Mary is listening to what Jesus wants to be saying. Which brings us to the point of all that. Jesus says in verse 42 that Mary has chosen the one thing. Now, some have tried to argue that what Jesus meant there is that Martha's too busy making too many dishes and that, you know, we don't need a big banquet and all kinds of fancy fixes. Not Thanksgiving. Just make me a sandwich. That's all I need. Just one thing to eat. But that's not right. Because Jesus talks here about how Martha has been busy with all this serving, but that Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, what does that have to do? How did that work if what he really means is, just bring me a sandwich? No. The one thing that she has chosen is what? She's chosen to listen to His teaching. That's what Mary has chosen. The good portion in verse 42, the one thing is to hear the words of the Savior. That's the most powerful thing here. Lots of stuff going on, but she's chosen the best thing that's going on. One writer said, the one thing that is needed, the thing that is better, is listening to the Word of God. The highest priority for those who would be disciples is to listen to God's Word. That's exactly right, isn't it? The story really grabs our attention. We begin to think about it, doesn't it? Of course, there's lots of things that we'd like to know about this story that Luke doesn't tell us. Martha often gets mentioned first in these stories, so some have decided that means she was older. And it does say something about her house in verse 48, and so people have decided that she owned the home. And there's lots of conversation about that. Don't think you could prove that if you had to. And I'm not sure what good it'd do in the story if you could. Other people have decided that this story is an allegory, and I've seen all kinds of interpretations. The two sisters stand for Christianity and Judaism, or for grace and works, or even Protestantism and Catholicism. Wow! No, it's not an allegory. And wondering about details that are not given to us in the story do not help us. Instead, what we need to focus on is the lessons that Luke is wanting us to see. And I want to share three ideas with you from this text. First and foremost, isn't this the main idea? That just because something's a good thing, that doesn't mean it's the best thing. I want you to consider that idea. If everyone would get a hold of this principle, even if they didn't get anything else out of the sermon this morning, there'd be some dramatic changes around here. We'd need more Bible class space on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. And it might be a little harder to get a seat on Sunday evening because the pews would be a lot fuller than they normally are. Someone says, What do you mean by all of that? Well, the truth of the matter is, why don't people come back on Sunday night? Why are people here for Wednesday night Bible study? Why doesn't everyone come to Bible class on Sunday morning? And the answer to that is, well, because they're doing something else. They're not here because they're someplace else and they're doing something else. And what they're doing is probably not sinful and evil. I don't think folks missed Bible class this morning because they were off getting drunk. I don't think 6 o'clock on Sunday evening is the magic hour when people forsake their marriage and go commit adultery somewhere. Do you? No, that's not what people are doing. People, though, are doing something somewhere else because our society offers us a lot of opportunities, do a lot of interesting stuff, and a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of good stuff like kids' sports. Basketball and soccer and baseball and lacrosse and football, those are good things. They provide teamwork and physical activities. And then there's schoolwork. Who's going to say learning is a bad thing? But with all that goes homework and projects and getting ready for tests. And what about rest? I'll tell you why some people missed Bible class this morning. Because couldn't drag themselves out of the bed at 9 o'clock, could they? Did so much this last week. You're just fatigued. And you're just tired, just not able to get up and get going. And that's not all bad. I can do that sleeping in thing. I understand about that. There's family time. There's good programs on television. There's lots of good things to do. There's lots of stuff you can fill your days and your life with. And it's not evil stuff. It's not sinful stuff. It's not wrong stuff. It's good stuff. But it's not the best stuff. And that's what's happening here with Martha. Who's going to say that serving's a bad thing? Serving's a good thing. Food. I'm for it, aren't you? And I don't want the text saying Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, but he couldn't get there because he kept fainting from hunger. Won't somebody please feed the Lord? I'm awful glad that she's doing some serving here. Food's a good thing. But Jesus says, I'm glad you're getting dinner ready, Martha. But you know what? That's not as important as you think. That's good. It's not the best. And that's where we really struggle in our discipleship sometimes, isn't it? Because it's easy to settle for good when what we really need to do is make some hard choices and go for what's best. Getting your homework is good. Kids in bed on a school night, that's good. Not best. Not as good, not the best that comes from being together as the people of God on a Wednesday night, studying from God's Word. Going to the zoo, family time. Heading out Sunday afternoon, going to take a picnic lunch, see the critters. Just going to be great. Just stay all afternoon and into the dark. Boy, that'll just be good. It is good to go to the zoo. Not the best. Not as good as stopping everything. Saying this was good and we enjoyed it, but something better is going on. We're going back to services. We're going to see our brethren again. We're going to encourage them. We're going to sing praises. We're going to learn more of His Word. See, that's better. Don't settle for good when you can go for best. Staying late in the office on Wednesday, banging out a bunch of work, getting that project done. That's good. Work is good. Not best. Not as good as coming to Bible class. Not as good as assembling with brethren and encouraging him, studying the Word of God, clearing out space for these divinely directed activities that we do with each other, that build each other up and make us strong in the kingdom of God. Those other things, they are good and we'll get to them. And there are other times that we can do those things. But sitting at Jesus' feet when He's present in your home, now that is an opportunity that you cannot miss out on. Worshiping with your brethren, being in Bible class, praying together, singing together, listening to the Word of God together, that's an opportunity you can't miss out on. Don't let chasing good things cause you to miss the best things. That's the problem Martha has in Luke 10. Which would bring me to the second idea that it's just easy sometimes to mistake a lot of activity for having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Luke doesn't tell us everything that's going on in this story. The account is short, very concise. That's what helps make it so sharp and so effective. But you have to know when Jesus said that to Martha, there was some chatter in the room. Probably some people nodding their head. That was right. Probably some people shaking their heads. What does Jesus mean? Because when you get to thinking about it, there's a lot of food that needs to be prepared here. I said something a moment ago about noticing that Jesus was not by Himself. You saw that in verse 38 as they went on their way. Well, let's count. If Jesus comes to eat lunch with you this afternoon, how much food do you need? Well, you need food for Jesus. You need food for His 12 apostles. That's 13 who are eating now. Need food for Lazarus. 14. Need food for Martha and Mary, 15, 16. Furthermore, there were people who traveled with Jesus all the time. Other disciples who were always part of His group. So you're looking at 20? 25 folks? Hey, that's a big lunch. And that kind of meal isn't going to make itself. This isn't set some Wheaties on the table, get a bowl of milk in the fridge, y'all help yourself. It's not working that way. Somebody's got to put together this dinner. And don't you wonder if Mary was thinking, well, if that's not a fine, how do you do? I'm working like a dog to put together this lunch for Jesus and His hungry followers. And what does that get me? I get rebuked. My sister's doing nothing. She gets a gold star. Wow. Well, let's stop for a moment. Martha, why do you want to make a meal for Jesus? Because He's the Messiah. Because He's the Son of God. He's not just any visitor. He is the visitor, the Savior of the world. Martha knew all of that. But somehow in the presence of Jesus, it never occurred to her that she ought to be maximizing the opportunity to be in the presence of Jesus and listen to Him. Her desire to make a meal for Him and those who are with Him actually took her away from Jesus. There was a lot of activity, but it wasn't activity centered on Christ and on having a relationship with Jesus. All of her serving, because Jesus was so special and so wonderful, actually ended up taking her away from Jesus, who's so special and so wonderful. Could that ever happen to us? Preachers and elders and deacons, we know about that. Come to worship God. What happens? Somebody asks a question, can I meet you after services? We start looking for so-and-so that's been out a couple of times and we're trying to see if they're going to make this service. Trying to deal with this problem here, trying to see this problem here. Deacons are fixing this, adjusting that. Somebody asks this. Deacons are taking role. Lots of things are going on. And the next thing you know, we're so busy doing all those service things that we didn't really worship. Has that ever happened to you? I know as a preacher, sometimes instead of thinking about the elements of the Lord's Supper and what those mean, what I'm thinking about is my 3 points and whether or not I'm going to be able to get them across to you clearly. So here I am to serve Jesus Christ because He's so special and so wonderful. And all my activity that I'm doing is actually distracting me from serving Jesus Christ, who's so wonderful and special. I'm right in the middle of Luke 10. I am distracted with much serving. And that's not just elders and deacons and preachers. We all have opportunities to serve and to minister, to take food here, or to lead in worship, or to teach a Bible class, or to help in a Bible class. And once again, we can get so busy doing all that, cutting stuff out and carrying this here and tending to this and to doing to that. And then the next thing you know what? I didn't get Luke 10 read this week. Why not? Well, I was so busy serving Jesus, I couldn't serve. Couldn't listen to Jesus. How about that? Watch what happens in the text when we lose the center for why we're serving. Look at verse 40. There Martha says, verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Isn't it interesting to note how she's concerned about herself? Serving the Lord has become little more than an opportunity to engage her agenda and to do what she wants to do. Let's have this smashing meal. It's going to be impressive. Everybody's going to see all this food that I prepared. People are going to think I'm really something. When Jesus doesn't get excited about her agenda, then Jesus needs to be corrected. Wow. Things are really starting to fall apart now. There's a lot of activity here. But it is activity without Jesus at its center and as its purpose. So it's a lot of doing, but it's not doing that's bringing Martha closer to the Lord. A minute ago I said something about coming to church more. And I am willing to make application out of this text to our worship practices, to our daily Bible reading. But some of that makes me a little nervous. Because once again there, we're talking about busy, doing something. Get those kids ready. Get everybody dressed. Whirlwind of activity. Get in this building. Got to be here. And yet sometimes we can get here and have done all that stuff. And why do we get here? Well, because we don't want an elder to ask, how come we don't come to church? It's a little embarrassing when someone says, missed you in Wednesday night Bible study. Someone says, how'd you do in your Bible reading? Someone, well, you know, I didn't get around to it. So that's a little awkward. See how all that activity begins to drift away from the Lord. If we're not careful to remain centered on Him, we start doing things to fulfill our own agenda, to make ourselves look good, instead of saying, how does this exalt Christ? How does this move me closer to the Lord Jesus? How can I do this in His name so that I can serve Him better? Those kinds of questions matter. Because activity for the sake of activity doesn't work. It has to be activity that's driving us to Jesus. Because all of our activity comes about based on choices. And our choices are coming from, they're coming from our priorities, aren't they? Let me have a little water, calm some of this down. In Luke chapter 10, Luke is furthering a theme that he's worked all along. It's the theme of listening. If you want to ask Luke, how do you be a disciple? He's going to tell you, put your ears on. Watch with me in Luke. Let's read a little bit of this. In Luke 6, let's try Luke 6, 47. In Luke 6 and verse 47, there we read, in Luke 6 and 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. Hearing and doing, they have to go together. In Luke chapter 8, look at the parable of the sower beginning in verse 4. In Luke 8 and verse 4, what's that whole parable about? That entire parable is about how you listen and whether you let things get in the way of hearing the Word of God. Now Luke 8 and verse 21, what does Jesus say about being related to Him? You'll be in Jesus' family tree. How great would that be? Jesus says, Luke 8, 21, my brothers and my sisters, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it. In fact, in this week's reading, if you look at Luke 11, in Luke 11 and verse 27, a woman is very impressed with Jesus. So she says something that she thinks is going to be really good. She compliments Jesus' mother. Luke 11, 27, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nourished. And my inclination about that is to say, amen. Because Mary's a special lady. Jesus says, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. You want to be a disciple? You're going to have to hear and keep God's Word. That is fundamental and of primary importance. We have to make hearing the Word of God at the center of who we are and arrange everything around that so that we can hear the Word of God and do the Word of God. Doing is extremely important. We've talked some about activity already, but you can't do the Word of God if you never heard the Word of God. But this is very hard to do. Life does not arrange itself automatically into the proper priorities. There are 1,001 things that we are called to do, and so we're going to have to make some choices. Not just what's good, what's best. I want to hear the Word of God. And we're going to make those choices based on what we think is most important. You need to ask yourself that. What's your priority? Family? Money? Friends? Leisure time, having a great time. What's driving you? That's going to determine your choices. That's going to determine then your whole life. It did for Mary. And that's why she's commended here. Her priority was Jesus. Her interest was Jesus. And that meant that other things, even good things, had to go. Because Jesus was here and I want to listen to Jesus. Now let me say this. That really preaches easy. Make better choices. Get your priorities in line. Anybody can say that. How do you really do that? Jesus helps us. Look at verse 42. In verse 42, Jesus says, "One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion," listen to him, "which will not be taken away." How do we form good priorities? How do we choose between good, better, and best? How can we know? We need to concentrate on what will last. What can you choose that cannot be taken away? So much that we chase after, so much that we get involved in, so much that we put first in our lives won't last in eternity, will it? But there are things that carry a cross. There are things that open the door to eternity. There is choosing Jesus that lasts. And what I need to do, what you need to do, what disciples need to do, Luke is telling us, is we need to focus on what lasts. And when you do that, your priorities will line up in a hurry. Can I just say one more thing here about daily Bible reading? Isn't it true? Spending time in God's Word, the way that you and I metaphorically get to sit at Jesus' feet, that's going to last, isn't it? That absolutely lasts. We need to make that a priority. Jesus' rebuke of Martha is designed to help her see that her life is built on her choices and she needs to choose better. She needs to choose what lasts. She needs to choose Jesus. I do think Luke 10 is an amazing chapter. And I think this chapter teaches us a lot of great things. But right here at the end, that may be the most important part of the chapter. Because it challenges us to evaluate how we're living and to make certain that we're going for best, not just good. It challenges us to make certain we're not just spinning our wheels in a lot of religious activity that doesn't actually lead us to Christ. And most importantly of all, it challenges us to examine our priorities and make certain we're choosing what lasts. Not a whole lot of verses right there. But what power is contained in the story of Martha and Mary and learning what's best in life.